This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. I'm Wong Xiaoning with Philip C, and this is The Morning Run. It has just gone past 7:05 in the morning. It's Tuesday, the 2nd of March. And in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to political commentator Dr. James Chin on the implications of two of PKR MPs leaving the party and supporting Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, which is also a subject of our poll that we're running on Twitter this morning, asking, when is it justifiable for an MP to switch sides politically? Do let us know. Let us know what you think. But before that, markets.
Right. US all green. The Dow closed up 2%. S&P 500 up 2.4%. And Nasdaq up 3%. Now, across Asia, Nikkei closed up 2.4%. Shanghai up 1.2%. Hang Seng up 1.6%. Singapore up 0.8%. And Zig with Zag, KLCI down 0.7%.
I think that's very much due to the glove makers coming down under, seeing some selling pressure yesterday. But in the meantime, to give us a view in terms of where global markets are heading, we speak to Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at US Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Now, good morning, Joe. With vaccinations in the US going at full swing and cyclical sectors starting to recover, is 2021 still going to be the year for big tech?
I don't, not like it was last year. No doubt last year, big tech won out early on. They were the COVID winner, so to speak. But really, I think this year it's more about the rotation, as you said, in the cyclicals, industrials, materials, energy, financials. But remember, you know, everyone thought they missed the big tech rally last year, but on a pullback, or where the, if the valuations start to improve in technology, you want to buy these companies. If you're a 5-year investor, technology is, this is your opportunity this year to get some exposure.
And I think globally, central banks, if we look at what they've been trying to do, right, they have been trying to calm volatility in the bond markets, even including Jerome Powell at the Fed. So is this the right course of actions? Or do you think markets should actually be allowed to run where they want to go, depending on what's happening?
Well, I mean, I think the markets have to be cognizant in what they're struggling with inflation. we haven't seen inflation in over a decade. So, you know, I sometimes where the 10-year yield is, it's not where it is, it's how quickly we get there. There's really nothing the Fed can do. I mean, the Fed has laid out purposely, clearly, that they're going to let the economy run hot, inflation run hotter than expected. They put that out there. And if they start walking that back, then that creates its own volatility. So I think, you know, the key now is going to be watching the PCE, looking at other commodity price inputs, wage increases. That's going to be the real story for the next couple of weeks, and that's going to be market moving.
So rising yields generally make it relatively more expensive, right, to invest in equities. Is it time to go risk off or stay the course?
No, not at all. Stay the course. We're not there. I mean, if we get to a 2-handle on the 10-year, maybe you start to think about your equity risk premiums. But, you know, the yield is backing up because there's so much growth being built in. I mean, the Atlanta Fed model tracking GDP, it's above 9% in the first quarter. But then it'll come off. So, no, I would not be leaving equities here given where the 10-year yield curve is.
So, Joe, I just want to be clear in terms of the asset allocation strategy. It still remains go long on equities and perhaps reduce weight on fixed income. What are your views in terms of fixed income at this moment?
Yeah, then? For as long as I can remember, we've always been more overweight equities, U.S. And then last year we broadened it out to more developed and developing markets, but. For sure, you know, whether it's the equities. Remember, real interest rates are negative. So if you want real yields, you've got to go into the equity markets where the S&P yield is above the 10-year yield as it is. So, you know, it's still about the dividend payers and it's still about equities. And we're early in this global synchronized expansion. We're early. So there's more upside to come. Volatility, for sure. Next year, I think, is later in the year. Perhaps next year is when we talk more about the whites of seeing inflation, for sure.
And in terms of asset class, is it time to consider commodities as an asset class? Because I read quite a few reports saying that the super cycle is here now.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the super cycle, what that actually means, how long that's going to last. But you know, whether it's precious metals, base metals, agricultural commodities, oil and gas, renewables, really across the board, you're seeing a lot of demand, and I think that's going to continue. It'll depend on oil, obviously, how well OPEC Plus manages the supply. The demand is there. You're seeing a lot of demand for rare earth minerals, you know, anything related to semiconductors. So I think we're early on, but, you know, I would just advise all your listeners to go out, get an ETF that's broadly based by precious metals, base metals, energy. That's the best way to play that.
And just going across to the Atlantic, talking about the euro, what's your view of the currency, given that actually there isn't much news on it? And also recovery in Europe seems to be lagging.
Yeah, I mean, the euro, it's going to be very, at the end of April, all the countries have to submit to Brussels their plans to spend the grants and loans that they're anticipating. And, you know, if there's any hiccup there, that could be, create its own problem. I mean, the euro shouldn't get any stronger, because I do think the ECB will weigh against that. They, you know, export driven Germany, they're going to need a weaker euro. And if at 122 plus, that starts to pinch on a lot of the big German corporations that do business overseas. So I think, you know, the key inflection point for Europe and the euro is going to be later in April when they come out with the plans about how to spend this money.
And Joe, we have to ask you about Bitcoin. I mean, when you look at the price on a year-to-date basis, it's up 70%, and it's also pretty positive for all other cryptocurrencies. Do you think it's something that we can't ignore anymore?
Well, it's something that we don't ignore, but we don't invest in it either at the private bank, but we're watching it, you know, digital currencies, cryptocurrencies. You know, but you know, anything that's, you know, had that kind of move so quickly, we'd probably kind of shy away from. And, you know, remember, I mean, it's still, we still live in a world where central banks, regulators, governments, sovereign countries, they determine currencies in the long run. So the fundamentals to me still support, you know, dollar, euro, yen, pound, Swiss franc, you know, all the currencies in Southeast Asia. So I don't think we're ready to go crypto just yet, you know, the world. And that's, we're a long ways from that.
And one final question. Another trend I've seen in markets is, of course, the rise of SPACs. Do you have any words of wisdom for us, Joe, on this?
Be careful. Don't chase them. You know, typically, you know, after they go public, they're down. You know, there's some studies showing that. So I would just tell investors listening, just, you know, stick with the knitting, stick with, you know, that works. The large cap, you know, ASEAN companies, large cap tech here in the United States, you're going to get it by. The cyclicals are doing very well. Robotics, you know, Japan. So there's plenty of places to put money to work that are more fundamentally driven and sounder than some of these other plays that we're seeing in the market.
All right.
Don't be caught up in the speculation.
Thank you for those wise words, Joe. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, telling us to stick with the fundamentals and what we know.
Very interesting. Remain invested, but don't steer out of your lane so far out.
You know,
a bit more cautious on Bitcoin, a bit more cautious on SPAC, but remain invested in equities. Good time to get into tech stocks.
Especially if you have a five-year horizon, right?
Five-year long-term horizon.
I think his point is very, very true. If something has gone up a lot, and if you look at Bitcoin, like I say, 70%, up on a year-to-date basis, that comes with its own level of risk, which maybe not right for every investor. Our point is, it may work for some people, even specs, but it may not be for all. But one thing that we're going to look at is a company that has really been a winner in this COVID-19 era, a work-from-home beneficiary, and that is Zoom, because they reported fiscal fourth-quarter earnings that were stronger than analysts had expected. Revenue grew 369% year over year in the quarter that ended January 31st. Net income was up 17 times on year to $260 million or 87 cents per share.
I don't think we'll ever see these numbers again. Really unprecedented, and also reflecting its full-year number, right? 326% year-on-year, and also for revenue and net income was also 30 times on a year. Incredible, right? At $2.25 per share.
But I think what people are a little bit concerned about is with the vaccine rollout and vaccine optimism, is Zoom still going to capture as much market share or growth as it did in the last 1 year? Because let's face it, I don't know about you, Philip, but Zoom fatigue is setting in with me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. So are we going to see continued growth in this? But in the meantime, when I look at the share price, right, it's $409. It's just up $36 this morning. Market still loves it. I don't doubt that it's here to stay, just the question marks over its growth.
Right, right. I think whether you expect single-digit or double-digit growth for Zoom, and I guess the reverse would be business travel, right? How fast that will pick up in view of Zoom, and whether or not this Zoom phenomenon is going to remain sticky.
Yeah, but at the moment, actually, I'm surprised. When I look at Wall Street, in terms of how the analysts are calling out the stock, 11 have a buy on it, 15 have a hold, and 3 sells. I guess it's a function of how much the share price has really done on a year-to-date basis. And this is clearly, like I say, you know, one of the big winners in terms of work from home.
Question for you, Shawnee. Do you think this is a target for acquisition?
From
one of the big tech companies, although it may be too expensive already from valuation standpoint.
Well, I mean, we had Microsoft Teams. I think they rolled out their own program, right, to create their own market share in terms of a way to communicate. Who knows, right? But when you look at this kind of valuations, it's not always the cheapest. But, you know, we'll watch this space. But up next, we'll be discussing the shifting allegiances in Parliament. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.